Matthew 23, a tough passage. I'm going to read some verses. Can't read the whole chapter, we don't have time, but Jesus has been addressing his disciples, he addresses religious leaders, he addresses his disciples again, all in a way that leads us to think he is talking to people like us. Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, "The teachers of the law and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. So you must be careful to do everything they tell you, but do not do what they do, for they don't practice what they preach. They tie up heavy, cumbersome loads and put them on people's shoulders, but they themselves aren't willing to lift a finger to move them. Everything they do is done for people to see." Now, verse 13, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You shut the door of the kingdom of heaven in people's faces. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You travel over land and sea to win a single convert, and then you make that convert twice as much a child of hell as you are. Woe to you, blind guides! Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You are like whitewashed tombs which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of the bones of the dead and everything unclean. Woe to you, teachers of the law, you hypocrites!" Alas, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. In a film thriller of 1991, Anthony Hopkins plays Hannibal Lecter, who is a brilliant psychiatrist and also a cannibal. The film is titled The Silence of the Lambs, and it's a masterpiece. Anthony Hopkins shows us a man who draws victims to himself with a kind of fatal attraction. He draws them, he traps them, he kills them, and then he has their liver for dinner along with a nice Chianti. Of course, after he made the film, Hopkins went back to being Hopkins. He quit acting like a cannibal, of course. Who would want to get inside Hannibal Lecter? He's an embodiment of evil. He's a man whose smile contains a whole world of menace and horror. Hopkins turned himself into Hannibal Lecter just to make a film, but when the filming was done, he went back to being Anthony Hopkins, which is good to know. But now, the remarkable thing is that some actors never do get all the way back to being themselves. What happens is that an actor absorbs his role into his person, and he's never again quite the same. An actor absorbs his role and it transforms him. You might even think that in some such cases, an actor converts to his role. Some of our ancestors used to worry about acting for this very reason. They worried about what it does to a person's integrity. What does it do to your integrity to climb inside another person's character? Is it safe? Will you get yourself back? What if you forget who you are? What does it do to a person like Anthony Hopkins to play a truly creepy villain like Hannibal Lecter? But then, of course, you might ask what it does to Anthony Hopkins to play C.S. Lewis in Shadowlands. Maybe getting inside somebody else's character could actually do you some good. Lewis himself used to say that one way of becoming a Christian is to pretend to be a Christian, to start acting like a Christian. We have to, so to speak, dress up like Jesus Christ, or as Paul says, we put on Jesus Christ as if we could pull him over our heads like a garment. The idea is that strange and wonderful things can start to happen when we absorb Jesus Christ's character into our own innards. Maybe some of his goodness will seep into our own character. Maybe if we act like Jesus Christ, one day we will convert to our role and become real Christians. But here a question arises. How would we know whether we had converted all the way into our role as followers of Jesus? We think we have become Christians, but what if our heart really isn't in it? What then? Do you know that some believe that the whole Protestant Reformation grew out of this very question? Martin Luther was a good Catholic Christian who partook of the sacrament of penance when he sinned. In this sacrament, as you know, out of a contrite heart, a sinner confesses his sins, does something or other that the priest assigns, and is absolved. And the whole thing started to trouble Luther. In fact, he became agonized over this one question: how do I know that my confession of sin is sincere? How do I know that my heart is truly contrite? Suppose I get on my knees before God to confess my sins. I think I'm sorrowful because I know my sin grieves God, but what if I'm deceiving myself? What if the real reason I confess my sins is that I'm just taking out the garbage and I want to feel better? What if I am put off by my sinfulness, not because it wounds others and grieves God, but because I think it's a lifestyle for scumbags and I'm above all that? Martin Luther was deeply worried about the possibility that he might be a hypocrite. And why not worry? Isn't this the one sin that Jesus really gets after? You heard Matthew 23 as I read parts of it to you. Woe to you, hypocrites! On the outside, you look righteous, but on the inside, you're full of dead man's bones and all kinds of uncleanness. Woe to you! Woe to you! Woe to you! Seven times, woe to you! Seven reverse beatitudes laid on people who are not as good as they look. Now, the word of judgment in this is that we too may be hypocrites and not even know it. We think our hearts are sincere toward God, but the heart is a good actor. The heart is awfully good at presenting itself as godly, even when it is far from God. That's the nature of self-deception, which is the motor of hypocrisy. Self-deception, by its very nature, covers its own tracks. First, we deceive ourselves about whether we are sincere. Then we deceive ourselves about whether we're deceiving ourselves. Woe to you, hypocrites. You look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside, you're full of hypocrisy. And so, brothers and sisters, Jesus' warning coming as a form of judgment and how we need it, but how we need God's grace even more. And one main reason we need God's grace is that we don't even know how sincere we are. We don't know how divided we are. We don't know how deceived we are. We don't know, finally, the condition of our own hearts. Only God can read the heart. And that's why we are here to say again that we are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Nothing in the whole Reformation shows us our need of salvation more than the simple fact we may be hypocrites and not know it. Woe to you, hypocrites. It's a terrible word, and we need to hear it, but it's not the last word for us believers. Sin never has the last word. The wonderful truth is that in our confession of sin that is folly, and of folly that is sin, and of stuff in our lives that we don't know what to call, all this confession is done inside the cradle of God's grace. That's where we confess our sins. Inside the cradle of God's grace. What makes God's grace so amazing is that it comes, it must come, it has come, it does come, not just for the proud and the envious and the greedy, but also for all of us poor actors who are trying so hard to be good and sincere. We can't trust ourselves. Luther knew it, we know it, and so we put our faith in Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God's Son, our Savior. Amen.